हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 56, Srimad Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.28. The efficient cause of this material world, manifested with its many varieties as the original tree, is you, O Lord. You are the maintainer of this material world, and after annihilation, you are the one in whom everything is conserved. Those who are covered by your external energy cannot see you behind this manifestation, but theirs is not the vision of learned devotees. So you have the common person. They're functioning in the material world. Everything that you're dealing with, everything is dead matter, right? The 24 elements are all unconscious dead matter. So technically they do nothing. They're inert, right? They're varieties of inertness. In other words, 24 varieties of inertness that they have different kinds of inert that they can do, right? So, but when the Lord enters these things, then by entering it, then they take on the qualities. So earth can carry certain qualities of the Lord, right? Then, you know, in the active form, right? Then water, some other qualities, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, all these can carry different potencies of the Lord and then manifest as if they're alive, right? So the common person, they just see that this dead matter is working very nicely and they think that that's what's going on. But here, as it mentioned, the vision of learned devotees, then they understand that, no, it's the Lord that makes it work. If there's anything that's nice, it's the Lord that's making that happen. Otherwise, it's just varieties of dead matter that do nothing. Does that make sense? So if that's appreciated, then whatever your position, you can see the Lord. Because we're thinking, okay, well, there's the direct aspects. Yes, that we go to work, we ride on the bus, we, you know, mow our lawn, whatever it is, then we're dealing with, not with direct aspects, right? Unless we're chanting or something. But then the point is, but all the indirect, it's also Krishna. It's called indirect because you don't directly see Krishna. You chant the holy name, the name is non-different from Krishna. You see Krishna. The deity is Krishna, right? The Bhagavatam is Krishna, right? So then all these different aspects, then seeing the devotees, seeing, you know, Tulsi, seeing the holy Dham, then we see the direct aspect. So then the idea is that when we're not doing that, we're outside the temple, then how to see Krishna? That's because all whatever is there, that's also Krishna, it's just indirect. Yes?
So can we say that Kanishta Adhikari, vision is very limited, even within direct. He sees just certain things, and indirect, he basically doesn't see the connection.
Yes.
And then Madhyamas, as you explained, he connects everything analytically.
Yes.
But it's not his vision yet.
It may be, but it's developing. It may, how you'd say, be like in the meditation, right? You have smriti and anusmriti. So it's kind of occasional, and then it becomes a little more regular, and like this, it develops.
Well, it is an effort for him.
Yes, you're using the intelligence for that. It's not necessarily that you just see like that. The only one we've heard of where they mention how they see like that is the gopis. But we can see it from what we appears, I think, also in the sixth canto, when it was describing all these great personalities, the kings. You know, you had Priyavrata, you had Rishabhdev, Bharat Maharaj. So then they see like that appears all the time. So then they're able to appreciate. That's what maintains. So, yes, but the Madhyama, it's dynamic in that they're stable in the service, and they'll be more stable in that these kind of things will come up more often. If you think about it, it's there. You can go more deeply into it. And I would say as you go into Ruchi and Ashakti, you will get more. Like that. You know, but so in Nishta, then yes, it'll be, but it's not that it won't be something that's there, it just may not be something that's always there. You know, it's like, it's just in meditation, it has those five stages. So even you get up to where it's constant, you get to meditation, it's still until it becomes exclusive that one comes to the point of that complete attachment to Krishna. At that point, then it gets very dynamic. You can take part in the pastimes, the direct pastimes. And then by the association of the devotees and the Lord, then one comes to the platform of prema. Right? So that you could say is a permanent samadhi. So generally, once you get to samadhi, you won't be distracted. But the point is that it'll be in that developing state. But as you said, generally the neophyte won't see in this way. Not that they can't, just that they generally are very busy interacting with the material energy. You know, so it's more on the effort that's being there, the results that are there. So that's why Krishna is very kind, that if the result is seen that it's for Krishna, then it's all connected. You get the benefit, but you're getting the benefit afterwards. Is that what it says? But like with the Madhyama, they can be seeing it like that as they go. So, but seeing it like that, that's not the actual main point. The main point is that attraction and attachment to Krishna. So this is just the spiritual platform that you see Krishna involved in everything. So the great sages, they see like that, whether they're devotees or not. They can see that way. They can see how the Supreme is pervading everything like that. That's what puts them in that position that they are. So the liberated position you can see. But it's the devotion. That's the real thing. Does that make sense? So even that platform of being able to see like that, that's not the specialty. It's the devotion. So with the gopis, it's the devotion. It's just that this devotion extends everywhere, that they see Krishna, the person, in everything. Is that... Yes? Seeing it's more, it means the attitudes that, but being the seeing that's a sankarshan. That's knowledge. Like that. Then that may affect one's attitude, therefore how you're going to deal and act is going to be different because you see like that. Because if you think it's yours, you'll deal in one way. If you think it's Krishna's, you deal in a different way. So they're all connected. Right? Because if you see like that, it changes how you're going to deal with the goal, the process, you know. So all four, they go together. We study them separately, but they're applied all together. Because Vasudev is application. It means all these things are being done at once. So, because to do the activity, you have to have these things as the background. Does that make sense? It means unless there is the knowledge and skills that's there, unless there's the attitude, and unless there's results that can be gained, then how does endeavor work? You know, I mean, what'll it do? Because you can't do an activity without knowledge and skill. You can't do the activity without the proper attitude. Right? Because just as if you try to perform the activity without the knowledge and skill, it won't come out right. It means physically right. If you don't have the right attitude, then the experience won't come out right. Right? And you have to perform the activity. How do you get a result unless you know what you're doing? Does that make sense? You know, if you go into the kitchen, throw some potatoes into the pot, and don't know what you'll get from that and think maybe you'll get a house or a Mercedes, then there's a problem. You know, because what do you do to the potatoes to make it turn into a Mercedes, you know? And depending on how you stir it or that or what spices, then you get the different colors of Mercedes. Or, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. You have to know what the goal is. So without that, how do you act? So the action and then the results and experience that come from that, that's the main thing. So that means all the others are there. So to please Krishna's desire, right, that being the ultimate goal, therefore then that mechanics can be knowledge, mechanics, attitude, results, all these things can be there. That's all in support of Krishna. So his energies take care of that. So that's what Baladev takes care of. That's why he's called the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Because you have to be God to control all these. But he's doing it to please Krishna. Right? So the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, they function to fulfill Krishna's desire. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vasudev means the combination of all those together that are applied. The other three, they are, you know, what's the position? The static. But Vasudev means it's dynamic. You're using the knowledge with the attitude and understanding the goal. So, does that make sense? You know, it's like you have ingredients, three different ingredients, then you put them together in the pot and cook it. That's Vasudev. Okay?
Yeah. Now, the question, so now, in order to love Krishna, we need to have the right vision.
Yes, yes.
And this is given by the Acharya.
Yes.
And how can we develop the better vision more and more? You mean by practice?
By practice, but it's association. In other words, by association, then we understand what is appropriate. Then contemplating that and practicing that, applying that, then we'll start to get Krishna, then being pleased, we'll get realization. But that process continues by always being in association. Because the more you understand, the more you value association, so you stay in that association, so it just increases. It just gets more. So that's why Vaishnava association is actually the main point. Right now, what we'll do in that, then the main point is chanting about the Lord's, you know, name, form, qualities, and pastimes. But we do that in the association of devotees, and we know about it from the association of devotees. Right? So by association of devotees, then we contact devotional service. That's how we develop faith. Right? Then we properly associate with devotees. Then that the process continues. So all these things continue. We generally look at it, okay, there's Shraddha, then you move on from Shraddha, because that's done to Sadhu Sangha. But Shraddha has to increase to take up Sadhu Sangha. And only through that Sadhu Sangha, then, and that increase again of faith, then it will bring us to Bhajana Kriya. Then when those increase, then we'll get to Anartha Nivritta. When all that increases, we'll get to Nishta. So it's not that one just moves on to the next, to the next, to the next, like that. Is that something? Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, you made a point a little earlier about seeing Krishna as the personality of Godhead in everything.
Yes.
So for a tree, I can see Krishna's energy
yes.
in the tree.
But that energy reminds you of Krishna.
Okay.
That's the point, is that there are steps. So as long as you have to go through it intellectually, then that means that we're following, you know, the path of intelligence, Buddha Yoga.
Yeah.
But when that happens simultaneously without the intellectual, that's wrong. That's that. So we see the gopis are like that. They see the tree is black, it reminds, so therefore they're thinking of Krishna. So there's no basically space between seeing something and remembering Krishna. And that aspect of remembering Krishna and the personal and then all these things. But for us, we'll take it through this intellectual process. But the point is to get it to Krishna. Because it's not that, oh, this is bad, you know, only Rag's good, so I won't do this. No, it's that this is what you do, that will get you to. Because if you associate enough with Krishna, by the association, because we're associating with the acharyas and seeing their affection for Krishna. So, therefore, then, if we continue the process, we'll develop that. It's just a matter of time, whether we develop it in this lifetime or we develop it in the spiritual world. It doesn't matter like that. No, the point is to get the results. Right? Okay, footnote 20. Srila Prabhupada in his purport explains how everything that we perceive is only one existence, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Various demigods, beginning from Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are supposed to be the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this material world, but actually they are not. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all right? Because we can say here, but it says, what about even Vishnu? Because he's the personality of Godhead. Right? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mm-hmm. Understand? Because Vishnu is just there to do things for Krishna. It's Krishna expanding to do this. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's Krishna who's doing everything. He's doing it through the medium of his expansions, of the avatars, the devotees, all these different things. His material energy, yes.
Other sampradayas, they think otherwise. They take Vishnu as the Supreme Personality and then saying that Krishna is a certain avatar.
Yes.
Can we say it's a philosophical mistake? Or
no,
because
in a day of Brahma, 999 incarnations of Krishna are expanding from Kirodakshai Vishnu. Right? And then he's expanding from Garbhodakshai and Mahavishnu, who's expanding from the Mahanarayan. So for them, Mahanarayan is the Supreme. So even they're taking Vishnu, they'll say the same thing, but they'll stop at Mahanarayan, at the Vaikuntha mood. So because the Vaikuntha mood is the mood they take, then you would take it that the expansion of that would be Krishna and Vrindavan, the aspect of sweetness and all this. And as we said, those 999 Dwapara Lila pastimes, they are done by an expansion of Kirodakshai Vishnu. So that, does that make sense? Because except for Braja Krishna, they'll all have that aspect of Aishwarya. But it'll have the sweetness, but it'll be in grandeur. You know, it's like we mentioned, I think, not sure who explains, I think Jiva Goswami is explaining in Lower Goloka. Because you have higher Goloka is Braj, or Gokul. Then you have Goloka, which is actually Vaikuntha. So within Vaikuntha, you also have Vrindavan. And in there, then everything's done. It has the form like the Vrindavan pastimes. They do all the same pastimes. But it has that element of grandeur to it. Like in Braj, Radharani goes with her close associates and a few thousand maidservants to meet Krishna at night, and they walk, right? You know, going across the Jamuna, you know, it's shallow at that point, because Govindastali is shallow on the one side, but it's, you know, full river on the other side. So three sides is a full river, and one side there's a shallow. Because that way then people don't go there so much, right? And so then like that, you know, so you have to pick up your skirt, like this kind of stuff. But in the Lower Golok pastimes, then Radharani goes in a swan airplane with 10 million maidservants to go meet Krishna for the Rasa dance. Right? So there's a difference in the flavor. It's performing Vrindavan pastimes, but with that aspect of grandeur. Does that make sense? So in that way, that's who they're dealing with. So in that case, they can say it is an expansion. It's not a problem. Because everything, there's Krishna, there's Balaram, and Mahanarayan. So that means Krishna in Mathura, Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in this, you know, lower Goloka. All these, they're all going to be expansions from Mahanarayan. So in that way, it's not wrong to think like that. They don't know about Swayam Krishna. They don't know about the Paravasta Krishna who's the original, like that. So that's just the thing. So two avatars back, they just don't know about. They only know about them in their form expanding from Mahanarayan. So from the perspective they're looking, they're not wrong. It's just that they don't catch that fuller understanding of the Lord. Does that make sense? Because it's always the thought in that level is grandeur, is greater, because it's bigger. Is that... Yeah. Yes.
Where is this written about Goloka and Gokul?
Goloka and Gokul, we were reading? I think it was last year we were reading about it. Like that, in the ninth canto.
Okay, because one time you said that the devotees, they fell down from Goloka.
No, that's Gokul. It means that's a different use of the term Gokul.
Oh, okay.
See, Gokul can apply to, if you're talking about the planet Goloka, then within Goloka is divided into Goloka and Gokul. Right? So Gokul means Braj. So Goloka extends up to Mathura. Right? So Mathura, Sweta, Dweep, all these different aspects are all part of Goloka. So it's all Vaikuntha. And Gokul is Braj. Now, when we're talking about the manifestation of Goloka Vrindavan and Gokul Vrindavan, we're using that way the terms, then Gokul means the pastimes manifest within the Mahatattva. And Goloka Vrindavan means that which is in the Goloka planet. Does that make sense? So Gokula, the term can be used in both ways. It's the same place. It's just whether you're talking about the higher or the lower. So generally, if you just say Gokul, then that will mean, if you're talking about the pastimes, it just means Krishna's pastimes, where, you know, his beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. Now, if you're talking about the position, then you'll say Gokul and Goloka, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just depending on how you're applying it. Okay.
So when you say Brahma, Vishnu, and...
Brahma, Vishnu, and...
So it means Vishnu is Shirodakshaya Vishnu, not Garbhodakshaya Mahavishnu.
No, when we're saying about Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, it can mean any of the Vishnus. But specifically when you're talking about the guna avatars, that's Kirudakshaya Vishnu. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if it's Kirudakshaya, Garbhodakshaya, Karanadakshaya, doesn't matter, because they're not the supreme personality of Godhead. Personality of Godhead means you have Godhead. Right? Means what everything's coming from. Right? And so the personality of Godhead means the Bhagavan feature of Godhead. Right? Because Godhead has Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan features. So when you say personality of Godhead, we're meaning Bhagavan. When you say supreme personality of Godhead, that means Krishna. Because of all the personality of Godheads, the original, or the topmost, is Krishna. So, yeah.
When we say about this Vrindavan past tense within the Vaikuntha Leela, is right. It like in the 24 expansion, that is the expansion of Krishna by name?
That I'm not sure. I can't say. Because then you'll have Krishna and Balaram and everybody's there. I mean, it's the same pastime. Still, you know, killing of Vagasura and all that. They're all there. But it's done by Krishna in that it has that mood of Vishnu. It's more sweet, just like Vaikuntha is just opulence. You know, its sweetness is there, but the opulence is, you know, very grand. Dwarka will have kind of the you know, half-half. Mathura will be a little more sweetness than Dwarka. So then lower Goloka Vrindavan, that will be more sweetness than that. But it'll still have some Aishwarya. So it's enough Aishwarya that the Vaikuntha Vasis can relate to it. Right? Does that make sense? But it's still different from the sweetness that's there in Braj. That's why Braj is unique. Sense. That's uniqueness. So that's what's different. That's what Lord Chaitanya is given. Even the other sampradayas, if they talk about like this, the Shris with Andal and the others, they're talking about Krishna and Vrindavan. But still, it'll be that aspect. And Nimbarka, you get up to the point of, instead of it being so, has the formality, it's informal, so it has the rag, but they don't accept separation. So the intensity can't be that great. Because separation drives it to that higher platform. So then they'll be functioning on a lower level. I would expect they wouldn't go above Anubhava by that definition. Right? So, but it's the same kind of pastimes. There's never the pastimes of separation. They're always together. It's just which kunja they're in. Like that. You know what I'm saying? For us, we don't generally get so much into the names of the kunjas, so I'm sure that they have. But for them, very much specific. Now they're in this kunja, they do this pastime, and this raga, and these kind of leelas. Then they go to that one. So it'd be like the deity worship. You know, where they're there all day, the pujaris are with the devotee all day. So you don't have necessarily all these other things happening. You know, that's not the focus. Right? For us, then Krishna goes off with the cowherd boys. He's not with the gopis. So there's separation. Or Krishna leaves Vrindavan and goes, there's separation. But for them, there isn't separation. You know, in past times that you can see there is, but they have a way to explain so it's not. Right? So who has that where there is not with Krishna, but they don't feel separation? Right? The Shanta Bhaktas. So that means there has to be that thing of that appreciation and all that. So there's some mix of that grandeur of the Lord. Because if he's God, then he's everywhere. You're always with him, so you're technically not separated. You know what I'm saying? So there'll be that touch of that. Though it may not be prominently focused on because of the rag bhakti. But still, there's going to be that difference in flavor. There is a difference. Otherwise, you know, Radha Krishna worship and Raganuga Bhakti has already been revealed by Nimbarka Acharya. So then, if Nimbaditya already did that, then what is the special and unique that Lord Chaitanya did? Because he didn't give Braj. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. So that has to be appreciated. But it's according to taste. Those who like Aishwarya, it is the more important thing. Now, depending upon, some just like just Aishwarya, but some like, you know, a little sweetness to it. So that's why you see in the Shris, the Alwars, then of 12 Alwars, 3 then discuss Radha Krishna pastimes in Vrindavan. And of those 3, 1 exclusively only discussed that. Is that, yeah, so you do have that aspect. So then they'll see Krishna and Vrindavan when they see Vishnu. Does that make sense? But the point is it's still within Aishwarya. So it's just a matter of taste. Like you have 24 avatars, Vishnumurtis, that which one you prefer the flavor of, that's the individual taste of the devotee. So this also is a taste.
Maharaj, so it's because of Lord Chaitanya that we are aware of Braja Krishna.
So it's because of Lord Chaitanya we're aware of Braja Krishna, yes.
Yeah. And even in other Kali Yugas, we have Lord Chaitanya appearing.
Yes.
So then what does he preach? He doesn't preach about Braja Krishna then?
That means the Lord Chaitanya in other Yugas, no, doesn't talk about Braja Krishna. Radha and Krishna, but not Braja Krishna. Radha Krishna. Because he is a Shaktivesha avatar. So when it's one of the meanings of that Krishna's three yuga, means he only comes as Vishnu Tattva in three yugas. In Kali Yuga, he comes as a Shaktivesha avatar. So he's a jiva who's empowered. Like Buddha, you know, or Vyasadeva. You know, Parasrava. So, and they're Shaktivesha avatars. Does that make sense? But in this, how you say, in the 7th Manvantara in the 28th cycle of the Yugas, then in that cycle, then it's Paravasta forms of the Lord, they come. So Ramachandra is the original Ramachandra, right? The original Krishna, and then Krishna comes as Lord Chaitanya. So then you're dealing in that. Then Braj is revealed. All the other times you're dealing with how do you say? Avatars, not avatari. Is that, yeah? Yes.
So Maharaj, everybody who is initiated in Gaudiya line is supposed to go to Vraja Krishna.
Means anyone initiated, that's the natural thing to do, but if they want to go somewhere else, they can. It'll just be easier to go from our line than from the other lines.
It is a question of personal desire.
Personal desire, but the natural default setting is Vrindavan. Right? But if you have a desire to go somewhere else, you can. You know? It's just as you like, but you know, you see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, there are people from other pastimes in that.
Yes.
And so, that's all right. Because Lord Chaitanya, he, you know, is a special avatar that, in the simplest way, easiest way, one can attain perfection. So the natural thing being given is affection for Krishna, you know, in the mood of the Brajavasis. But if you want something else, it's there. But that's the natural thing. So we're not going to say everybody's going there, but we're not going to say, no, it's not that. And that's the natural thing. That's what happens. Right? Let's say if we take a hungry kid, right, Dwadasi morning, 6 in the morning, and put down some hot halava in front of them, what will happen? Right? You can pretty much guarantee they'll eat the halava. You know, but something could happen that he doesn't. You know, so the point is that's the natural thing. Yes.
How is it what we like? I mean, don't we have an eternal constitutional position somewhere? That
yes, yes, but that's what I mean. But that's still the nature of the soul. Because that's what we like. Like, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of his brothers was a Vaikunthawala. You know, not meaning he's a Vaikuntha man, meaning from the spiritual world, means he was a Vaikuntha person, as opposed to a Goloka person. So, you know, like that. But in any case, we're in this line, was talking about Vrindavan. We're focused on Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. Okay. The fact is that everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifested in varieties of energy. Because the Lord is non-different. Ekam eva dvitiyam brahma. There is no second existence. So there's only one actual topic, is Krishna. Everything's then in relationship to Krishna. It's just different aspects of Krishna, because Krishna's unlimited, so you can take so many different angles to explain about Krishna. Those who are truly vipaschit, learned, are those who have reached the platform of understanding and observing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any condition of life. So, the more you can see Krishna in everything and everywhere, that we can see is one is more advanced. Right? That's the higher, truly learned. Right? Of course, one who's always has a taste for the holy name and is always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, whether he's making that connection with what's external or not, the point is you're thinking of Krishna. So whether if you're doing it through the mechanics of the intellectual platform or you're doing it directly without that, that's the learned platform.
It means everybody within the Brahman platform is at that level.
Yes, means who are actually at the Brahman platform are at that level. Devotees at the Brahman platform, they're at that level. Others, then they will see, but they'll only see up to Brahman. They have a limited understanding of this feature. Means Sarvam Kalvinam Brahma can mean you're seeing how Brahman is everything, or you can see how Paramatma as Brahman is everything, or you see Bhagavan through his energies as everything.
Yes.
Okay? So the point is it's just how high you see. So the devotees, they're the topmost, because they'll see as Krishna and his energies is everything. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Brahma Samhita 5:38. Learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Supreme Lord. So that's why the devotees don't have any difficulty, because they're always seeing the Lord, so then whatever it is, it's still all about the Lord. That affection is still there. When a devotee is in distress, he sees that the Lord has appeared as distress just to relieve or purify the devotee from the contamination of the material world, right? Because we're attached to the material world instead of Krishna. So by this distress, we give up that attachment to the material world. We take shelter of Krishna, then we get inspired from that side, right? But if we're attached to the material world and don't want to give that up, then we may get upset that Krishna is why this is happening. I'm a devotee. But then that's based on the premise that if we're a devotee and we surrender to Krishna, then that means Krishna is going to make the material world perfect for us. Right? But no, it's the spiritual world is perfect. Why make this place? But why try to make your toilet, you know, into, you know, some kind of luxurious, you know, the whole house? Why would you want to expand the toilet as the whole house? You know, would you want this really fancy? Let's say we gold leaf the toilet, but it's in the center of the living room, right? It's a really nice living room. Like that. Is that a good thing? Is that necessary? No, the toilet's the toilet and the living room's the living room. So therefore, the material world is going to be the material world. You don't need to, you know, make it more fancy. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. That's the whole point. Yeah. Yes?
But often when devotees, they're doing something and something goes well, then they, that's Krishna's mercy.
It's Krishna also. It's also Krishna. So the point is, devotees always remember Krishna.
Yeah, but
that's what you're trying to do.
But also, they are saying that it's good if something goes nicely. So.
Because they're trying to get the result for Krishna. Right? So the point is we're endeavoring to get a result for Krishna. Right? Because remember what we started off with about Vasudeva, the Abhideya. So for us, then, Govindaji. So it's focusing on Gopinath and that you're trying to please Krishna. But it's actually the process of that application that's pleasing to Krishna. Because the result itself is Krishna. Bhakti is the unique thing. Krishna's in control of what result you'll get. But bhakti, Krishna's not in control of. It controls Krishna. Right? So for Krishna, that's the interesting aspect. So it's the continuous endeavor to please Krishna. So sometimes for a flavor it goes nice, sometimes it doesn't go nice. Because for Krishna, that particular result we're trying to get isn't the important thing. It's not like Krishna's sitting there and going, wow, I could really use some potatoes right now. You know? So it's the devotion in which the potatoes are cooked. That's what attracts Krishna, not the potato, because he already is the potato. You understand? So the specialness that's added is the devotion. Because otherwise, the knowledge and skill required to cook the potato, the process of cooking, and the result you get after cooking, that's all Krishna. There isn't anything that's not, because he's what makes everything work, what makes it attractive, what allows it to transform, right? So then what is in there for Krishna? It's already him. So it's the devotion.
So it's not useful to say that if it's not actually connected to Krishna, then it's just for something, some benefit for your life or whatever.
No, but the point is that you see something in connection with Krishna, that's always a benefit.
But if you don't, then it's not useful to say that.
No. The point is even saying that means you have to think that it has some connection to Krishna.
Okay.
So it's not a bad thing. Yeah. Point is even if one is materialistic, you connect it to Krishna, that's a progress.
Okay.
It's always good. It's just that one shouldn't say it's the same as pure devotional service. Like that. Because in pure devotional service, it's also about Krishna, because you're doing the service to please Krishna. And if it goes nicely, it's by Krishna's grace. If it doesn't, just Krishna wants you to work a little bit more at it. Because obstacles, all they do is delay the result. It's not that the result won't come, it's just how long it gets delayed. Because as we said, it's the process, therefore the delay just means longer process. You know what I'm saying? Let us say you like driving in a car, right? So now you have to go somewhere. And by going there, you get there. But the drive was nice. So sometimes if you have the time and like that, you might take a longer route to get there because you enjoy the drive. So it's not that, oh no, it's an obstacle. Oh, we turned right here. Oh, we're driving through the park. This is an obstacle. It's not an obstacle to driving. It's an obstacle to getting to where we are. So if we look at it, getting the result is the real point. Rather than performing the service to please Krishna, then we'll see it as an obstacle. But if not, it's just service to Krishna. Does that make sense? But we have a specific duty, so there is a result trying to be gained, so we'll see the obstacle there. But it's not an obstacle to devotional service. It's an obstacle, like let's say, we want to cook the potatoes. So you walk into the kitchen, you go to where the potatoes are, the basket's empty. So to get the potatoes cooked, that's an obstacle that there's no potatoes, that we have to go to the market. But as far as devotion goes, it's not, because with the same devotion, you're going to the market and getting the potatoes. You understand? So that's the difference. That's why they don't see that it's a problem. It's all devotion. But at the same time, as result being for Krishna, they want to get the result for Krishna.
So then, on the other hand, sometimes devotees come to a conclusion that if so many obstacles, then maybe Krishna doesn't want.
It depends. Is it your duty? If it's your duty, like you're the head cook, then it's not that you think, well, maybe Krishna doesn't want me to cook. You know how you say? He wants me to play harmonica. You know.
Yeah, it's not always so simple to...
Yeah, but the point is if it's your duty, then that's what you do. You know, like say, when someone's a grihastha, then maintaining all the things of grihastha life, even though it's like pushing a very large boulder uphill, then that's what you do. And what's the purpose? So when you get to the top of the hill, you can step aside and let it roll down. That's called vanaprastha. You know? And it can, you know, roll over the other guys on their way up. You can say, watch out. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that it's there. So now, if you're in grihastha ashram, there's obstacles. And it's just not going your way, and you're 20, you know, you're supposed to put in the effort. If you're 50, then you know Krishna's telling you it's time for vanaprastha. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So it just depends upon your stage and all that, then what you do. The point is to be engaged. You know, so it's not that one can't do these at different ages. It's just a matter of that one should be engaged according to nature. Mm-hmm. Right? Huh? Yeah.
Maharaj, when you say everything is Krishna, can you say except bhakti?
Bhakti is also Krishna, but it's just that that's being controlled by his Swarup Shakti, and so then he puts himself under the control of his internal energy. Like that. He's in control of it, because what's bhakti doing? Simply trying to please him. Right? And that means then you have to know what pleases Krishna. And so then it's still his energy. But that's the only thing that controls Krishna. Because otherwise, why expand unless there's some... So Krishna's benefit that he gets by expanding is the bhakti. All the other things are him anyway, so that's not the big deal. So being God doing wonderful things, that's not special. While one is within this material world, one is in various conditions, and therefore a devotee sees a condition of distress as but another feature of the Lord. Tattenukampam sukshamik shamana. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8. A devotee, therefore, regards distress as a great favor of the Lord, because he understands that he's being cleansed of contamination. Because then you remember Krishna. The point is you remember Krishna. And in here you're becoming purified, so then in that purified state, we're able to serve Krishna. Because developing love for Krishna is the topmost platform. That's the best platform, the best benefit. Right? And that's an eternal position. The material world's a temporary position. And so, to remove the temporary position, then there are temporary distress. So even though by time frame it seems like it's very great, in reality it's not actually very great. Yes. Hare Krishna.
We've seen that many devotees actually left Krishna consciousness because of distress. Does that mean they didn't achieve that level, or what?
It just means it's just the, as Krishna Prabhupada mentions, sometimes the soul just becomes tired. And so then they may give up Krishna consciousness or run at a lesser program. You know, I mean, less endeavor. But it's up to them what they want. It's a matter of what the soul wants. It's not a matter of that they're forced to leave because of the situation. Because they say, well, the situation is so bad. That's why then we see in scriptures the situations of the devotees there are much worse. What Yudhishthir Maharaj went through, what Prahlad Maharaj went through, you know, what the residents of Vrindavan, it's so much greater, so that we can't blame it. Oh, but this situation, how can you be Krishna conscious? Because there's devotees that have a much more severe situation, and they're still Krishna conscious. So it's just a matter of desire. Right? Because on the materialistic platform, let's say the person sets up a business, it fails, he stops. But then someone else sets up a business, it fails, he sets it up again, it fails, sets it up again. But on the fifth time, then it works. And then you see that there's an article about them in Forbes magazine. Right? So that's the whole thing. It's just a matter of what you want. You're committed to that, determined to that, then you'll get through the obstacles. It's just how much time it takes. Right? Because most everything that everybody's trying for, you know, beauty, fame, wealth, power, influence, knowledge, it takes them a long time. Basically, when they're in their vanaprastha stage of life, that's when they get it. You know, there's a slight delay there. So we see is what piety is there in personalities like the Pandavas, that they have it, you know, in their youth. They have everything that can be obtained at that time. So that's greater piety. That they got it later in life, that means there's piety, but not as great as when they got it at a more appropriate time. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like when you're young, you drive in the car with the top down, you know, all the wind and that, it doesn't bother you, it's nice. But when you're, you know, 60 years old doing that, it makes your neck stiff, you know. So, you know, you do it just because it impresses everybody else, but, you know, in reality, you'd rather have the top up. But you're in California, how can you have a car without the top, you know, with the top up? You have to have it down, you know. So it's just, you know, how you say, the natural austerity that comes with the performance of one's duties. Yes.
Maharaj.
Yes.
Can we say that if this devotee's soul gets tired and they leave Krishna consciousness?
It's not the devotee's soul. The devotee is the soul.
Yeah. If the soul gets tired and they leave Krishna consciousness, then can we say, as you said before, that Krishna just, like, this the result, but Krishna wants to extend?
No, it's not Krishna wants to extend. We want to extend. Krishna wants us to go back. Krishna's first recommendation is you surrender to him completely in a moment. That's Krishna's preferred path. If you don't do that, then take up a serious sadhana bhakti. If you don't do that, then take up attached sadhana bhakti. In other words, naishkarmiya would be the next best. And if not, then sakam karma yoga. And if not, just karma. You know, but it's recommended. Do nice things, good things, give in charity, try to be a nice guy. And if you can't do any of that, then you can be a Mayavadi.
Yeah, I understand that. The bit I don't understand is how it's a choice, because that's what the soul has.
They always have choice.
But we can only do what we can with our level of qualification.
Yes, but the point is that, like, if we want tired, that, we... Because it's tired because we see is that the material's not so bad. and we'll relax back into that.
Okay.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah. So like that.
We could call obstacles a matter of perception, our perception. Like, if you are connected with Krishna and we have faith, so we can see that everything that comes to us is good for us. But if
yes.
We're not connected,
but
so
it doesn't mean that it's not a distressful condition, but you see it as good. It means that you're saying you see everything good, yes. So that's what Prabhupada's pointing out. Even the distressed, learned devotees accept even conditions of distress as representing the presence of the Lord. So that's good. Like that. So they're always seeing everything as good. It's just a matter of, in other words, the connection to the Lord, it's good. Getting the work done you're trying to do to please the Lord, that's not may not go as well. But the point is it's the endeavor to do it for Krishna that pleases Krishna.
So obstacles is not something external.
Some things are eternal.
External.
External.
External. We call, generally we call obstacles someone that's not doing something that I like, that I want, or something that I see is coming against my path, for example,
right.
My desire. So it's not obstacle because the right definition, because obstacle is not external, it's internal. It's the way that I see this movement around me.
Yes, yes, it's there. But I mean, you can say it.
If I see Krishna in this movement, so it's good. Everything in the end will be good.
Yeah, and if we don't see, then we'll go somewhere else. Point is everybody's seeing Krishna. It's just whether they're seeing him in a material form or a spiritual form. You know, the materialist sees Krishna's sense gratification. But because they don't have spiritual vision, they're not making that connection that what they're looking for is Krishna. Because otherwise, why would dead matter give you any benefit? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
But are we somehow like creating these obstacles by our desires, like maybe deep down in our...
Are we creating? The point is material modes is doing all the things. It's just a matter of what we take part in, then that's what area it will come in. Okay, let's say we decide to, what is it, that French thing, parkour, how do you say it? No? The thing where they can run and jump over things and off buildings and like that. Yeah. So you're doing that. So what's going to be the obstacle in that? You're going to get hit in the face with a banana. You know what I'm saying? There'll be some people on the side playing the national anthem on kazoos. You know, what's going to be the obstacle? No obstacle. You're trying to still try to figure out what's parkour. Point is, it's going to be that, you know, you jump off something and you miscalculate and you get hurt, or the thing is bigger than you actually can deal with, or you can do it all right, but the other guy's better, so he wins, or... You know what I'm saying? It's going to be within the area of your decision. So the distress you're going to get is going to come from the area of decision that you've decided to take part in. But that what you take part in, it already comes with a set thing. Does that make sense?
What I'm trying to ask is...
No, you're trying to establish, are we still the controller and enjoy it?
Well, I was saying, if you're in bad situations, though, do we get that because we have some desire deep down inside that
we want that bad situation?
Yeah, that we're like,
not necessarily.
I was just thinking, are we creating that because we're like...
Yes, not like the guy really wanted to be hit by a bus this morning when he got up.
Then why did it come? That's what I was saying.
Because he's walking across the street. So walking across the street, the problem is you can get hit by a bus.
So it has nothing that we're doing with Krishna that's... Right.
I was just thinking that
it goes. It's just like this. You get on the bus outside the front gate to go to Calcutta, right? Where will it go?
Calcutta.
Do you make it go to Calcutta? You're sitting there, and you know, and then as soon as someone said something, you got distracted. The bus stops. Right? Does that make sense? You got on the bus. It's going to Calcutta. You go to Calcutta. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You get on the wrong bus and it's going to Burdwan, then you have a problem. Right? So that's the point. Is it already is happening. It's just you choose which thing you want to get involved in. So it has all those things that go along with it. Now, depending upon your previous activities, your mentality, therefore, then what results you may experience on that path, then those will be provided by the material energy. So it's not that directly you want bad things to happen, but by doing a particular activity in an inappropriate way, indirectly, you're wanting that. So like if somebody steals, indirectly, they want to be put in jail. But they don't actually. But that's what goes along with it. Right? You order a pizza, you get a box with it. So that means, you know, you like it as long as there's pizza in the box. Once the box is empty, now the box is a problem. So did you want that box? That's the thing you were thinking, yes. I want a stack of empty pizza boxes on my coffee table. You know? No. It just comes along with it. With a potato comes the peel. Right? Yeah? Yeah. Okay.
And I think I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you even avoid even having to get the box or having to...
Like that. You could stand right in front of the place where they pull the pizza out of the oven, and if you got a big enough mouth, they could just toss it in. Or you could tell them to make very, very small bite-sized pizzas. But then the problem is it'll be hot.
Well, you can avoid pizza.
Yeah, you can avoid pizza. That's another. Yeah, so that's why there's always all these things go together. So then, yeah, you understand. So in other words, it wasn't the control from enjoyment; it was the control from the liberation, right? But control, that's where its basis is. So where a person, there's endeavor. Endeavors always have this variety. But the point is if it's in connection to Krishna, it doesn't bother us. If it's not connected to Krishna, it will always bother us. Because it's very rare it goes exactly the way we want. Because you have to remember, everybody else also wants. You know, it's not like Black Friday morning, you walk down to the store, you know, you just get there. As you get there, the doors open, you walk in, get what you want, go buy it, and walk out. No, you have to camp in line for 3 days before that. And even you do get in there, you know, it's a riot and people are stealing everything. And even you do get to it and grab it yourself, someone else may wrestle it out of your hands. Right? So that's the whole point, is there are more people and more things going on than just us. Right? Unless you're an adherent to, you know, the, how you say, the principle of living like the little prince, right? And so it's just him and that little dinky planet. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay? Yes?
I'm thinking another attractive feature of Vaikuntha to the devotee might be is there is no obstacles. And Dwarka and even more Braj is a lot of obstacles in there. But Vaikuntha is like no obstacles.
Yes, but the no obstacles, that makes it easy, so it's happy, but it won't have the intensity and it won't have the variety.
Yeah.
Because if it's like this, think about it. Okay, someone's a young person, like that. They could just, you know, how you say? They could just stay at home, you know, get educated, get a job, do everything nicely, don't throw your socks on the floor, keep the bathroom clean, make your bed in the morning, make lots of money, buy your Porsche, you know, and things like that. And life would go so much easier, right? But he decides to get himself involved with a girl. Why? You know, it could say so much more trouble, so much more difficulty, so much more this and that. You know what I'm saying? So, but why? Because the intensity of the experience is greater and more variety. The other one's exactly the same thing every day. So it's just a matter of taste. Because we're looking at it that problems are a problem. But in relationship, problems aren't a problem. Right? You know, the boy having to, you know, sneak out to crawl over the fence and get in there and then find a little rock that he can throw that hits the window and hope that, you know, the mother or father doesn't come to the window when he hits the window. You know, like that. So, but he does all that. So, he doesn't see it as a problem. That's what was pointed out to Bilba Mangal Thakur by Chintamani. Says the trouble he's going through, if you applied that to the Supreme Lord, you would be a great devotee. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that if we're attached to it, it's not a problem, even the obstacle. Does that make sense? So as the affection increases, all these obstacles aren't actually obstacles. They're just variety and pastimes. But if we're worried about the material world, it's painful, so we want to get rid of that pain. So we have to see, is this actually a attraction to Vaikuntha, or is it an attraction to liberation? Because Vaikuntha means that the liberation stays intact. Right? You're still aware of it. While in Braj, there's not aware of that. Nobody cares.
I didn't quite catch that point.
Means the Salokya, Samipya, Shard, like that. Those are standard things. In fact, I was I remember the prominent person, the Grihastha, though, from the Madhva Sampradaya, that says their goal is Swarupya. That's what they want. So they want that liberation. So for us, it's about pleasing Krishna and being able to please Krishna through service. So then if by Krishna's grace we can do that within the pastimes, that's there. So then we have a suitable form for those pastimes. So Brahma Samhita is mentioning the devotees, due to their affection, they have a suitable form for interacting with the Lord. So that is Sarupya. But it's not the exact same, but it's not the focus is not on that, the focus is on Krishna. You understand? So that aspect of liberation can still remain there. It's spiritual, but it still has a spiritual desire that's connected to Krishna, but it's because you're interested rather than he's interested. So that's the specialness of pure unalloyed devotional service. It's just about what will please Krishna. Right? So you have, yeah. Is that okay? Yes.
We spoke that obstacles, sufferings help us to become detached and focus on Krishna.
Yes.
And I have heard that if we just focus internally and visualize that suffering, then we can also focus on Krishna. And it is as good as it actually happens. Could you comment?
And what's the benefit? I mean, why use this? Why, when things are going nicely, why would you sit around and meditate that it's going badly?
Because it helps to focus and to...
On Krishna. But why can't we focus that it's going nice by Krishna's grace?
Well, because we spoke that obstacles, they give this benefit.
Yeah, they purify. But also by being connected to Krishna, it is, you're dancing in ecstasy in the kirtan, that also is bringing you closer to Krishna. Just one's more direct than the other. So why would you use a more indirect aspect when a more direct is available? know what I'm saying? Like that. Okay. The appearance of distress is a negative process intended to give the devotee relief from this material world, which is called mrityu samsara, or the constant repetition of birth and death. To save a surrendered soul from repeated birth and death, the Lord purifies him of contamination by offering him a little distress. So it's just a little. We may perceive it as big, but it's actually a little. You know, just like little children. It's a very small thing, but for them it's a very big thing. So same time as we get bigger, we think that, you know, it's more our problems are much more big, but compared to someone else, they're not so big. Right? You know, for Yudhishthir, he's sitting there in the forest, and then sitting, he sees next to him, there's this other guy lamenting, right? And what's he lamenting about? Oh, I lost my favorite watch. You know, and it's the end of the day, right? He had to go out for a walk in the forest. Right? Yes.
Practically, we know that Krishna applies pressure on his devotees.
Yes.
And it's throughout the Bhagavatam. And then other devotees, they apply pressure on devotees.
Right.
And then basically we have two positions, you know, that if somebody leaves because of that pressure, then the superior says, you know, he wasn't sincere. And the junior person says it was too much pressure. So where's the balance?
Krishna consciousness.
But then that person left, and he is in mind.
The amount means the amount of pressure. The point is, Krishna will never give, or Maya will never give more pressure than what you can deal with. Because it always has, it's a choice. Is it Krishna or Maya? If it's overwhelming, of course, where's the choice? So the freedom of the jiva to make that choice is always there, so she never gives more than what you can handle. We have to remember, she controls all the universes, unlimited universes. And we're 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. So very easily she could give more than what we can handle. But she doesn't. That's why she's in charge and we're not. Right? So it's that choice to remain or not is always there. Because whatever pressure one's going under, there's other devotees that went through that or more and remained in Krishna consciousness. Is that? Yes, yeah, so it's still always the individual choice of the living entity from that aspect. Right? So it's their choice. Now within this, then one should try to behave in a way that will be inspiring to the devotees. So if all that's being done and still they leave, then what can you do? But it doesn't mean that you can't improve the quality of how you deal so that it lessens the chance of them going away. In other words, you're trying to inspire them to make that right choice, but ultimately that choice is theirs. You know, it's like Krishna on the battle with Arjuna. Is the soul doesn't kill, or is the soul not being killed? So in other words, whatever was supposed to come to that person, that difficulty came through, in this case, as you gave example of some authority. Technically, the authority is not the one doing it. It's Krishna's energy is doing that. Now, that authority doesn't have to take part in that pressure. They can take part in the more encouraging aspect. But it's not that pressure won't come. Pressure for everything. You want something good, there's more pressure. But if I want to run a pawn shop or if I want to run a multinational business, which one has more pressure? Like that. But the results are more. So pressure is always going to be there. Whatever someone's under, they put themselves under more pressure. Is that, you know, that's just natural. But then the question comes is that it's their choice. But we can try to be there to see that they make the right choice. But it's still their choice. To say that, no, it's the authority's fault, that means that the authority's in control. And if the authority actually is in control, then why aren't we following the authority? Because they're in control. You know. But the point is that they're not actually the ones in control. Krishna's in control. And so we take part according to our interest. So if it's just about controlling, then yes, we may make mistakes. If it's about supporting devotional service, then we'll tend to do a better job. So in other words, everybody can become more Krishna conscious. This cannot be understood by a non-devotee. But a devotee can see this because he is vipaschit, or learned, right? So the more we understand it, the more we can see it. The more we have this knowledge, we perform devotional service, the more we can see. Right? So if there's any aspect that we're not seeing, that's just left over from the non-devotional practices and thought patterns and like that. Does that make sense? But as we become purified, then we start to see like this less and less. A non-devotee, therefore, is perturbed in distress. But a devotee welcomes distress as another feature of the Lord. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. Right? Everything is Krishna. That's the point of this being said here. Right? It's all Krishna, therefore it's all good. A devotee can actually see that there's only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and no second entity. It's all Him, aspects of Him. But because He's conscious, therefore, as parts and parcels and expansions and energy, they're conscious. And so then you can interact. But it's still Him. The jiva is only going to act as a jiva. We have a conditioned nature. Since the conditioned nature is made of Krishna's 24 elements, it's only going to act according to the laws governing those combination of elements. So depending upon what combination of the 24, in what situation, there's specific laws governing. And so it's only going to happen that way because it's Krishna. So ideas, no, we can change it or things are different. This is all an illusion that we're the controller and enjoyer. Right? Because we change it, then why would you want to change it? Krishna has it a particular way, but we're different. We're devotees. We're not this body. We can change it. What's the benefit of changing it? Is it for Krishna? It's for ourselves. So that's the whole point, is that if we see that it's about Krishna, then and we see everything as Krishna, and we also see that we're part and parcel of Krishna, so we're also Krishna in that small way, but we're servant part of Krishna. You know, it's just like food, hand picks up food and puts it in the mouth. So, like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Ekam evat dvitiyam. There is only the Lord who presents Himself in different energies. So that's all there is. And if that's understood, then we can take the point of devotional service. Because that being the position, it's only Him. He's the Supreme Lord. We're His part and parcel. Therefore, it's about service to Him. So... Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.